Welcome to Ipswich Town Insights. My name is Chris Brammer and I'm joined with Chief Football Writer Stuart Watson to review the opening day of the season at Portman Road as Ipswich Town defeated Birmingham City 1-0 in the Championship. Stuart, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, or morning. Well, is it morning? No, it is afternoon. Sorry, I'm losing track of time. We're sat here on Sunday, less than 24 hours on from an opening day win, aren't we?
It all depends whether you, when you listen to it as well, because obviously this will be going out at 6 a.m. on Monday morning, but it will be available for you to listen to throughout the week leading up to the Barnsley game away next Saturday. Stuart, before we start, I've got a bit of a bone to pick with you.
Go on.
Just looking on social media this morning, and you've been too positive. How dare you? I mean, after all the negativity and what we had to put up with last season, Town get a 1-0 win against Birmingham, putting in a decent second half display. But people are jumping on your back already saying that you're being too positive. You can't win, can you?
You can't please all of the people all of the time, Chris, can you? Got a lot of stick last year for being too critical. People sensing that we couldn't wait to stick the boot in and stick the knives in. And you know, I've tried to be nice and optimistic leading up to the game. I've been nice and positive with the piece written for tomorrow's back page, Monday's back page, and other people. And you know, there's a few people saying it's one game, it's only Birmingham. Let's not get carried away. Listen, if we can't be positive now after an opening day win, when can we be? And I did put in the piece, it was far from a perfect performance. The first half was pretty disjointed, but it's a win. And I thought second half there was there was a lot of character, a bit of quality as well, we should say. A very well taken goal, and all things considered, good value for 3 points, some green shoots of recovery, and reasons to be cheerful.
Bearing in mind, you look at that lineup that started yesterday, and we were a little bit critical, weren't we, in the press room prior to the game. McGoldrick, Salina, Adam Webster only fit enough for places on the bench. Tom Adeyemi, Emir Hughes, big summer signings from Ipswich's point of view, both out through illness and injury respectively. Teddy Bishop out, Luke Hyam out. Then Andre Dizel, who was arguably the star of the show in the first half, gets a serious injury just before half-time. They still go on and win 1-0. And Flynn Downs, who came on, put in a great performance. Cole Skews was good in the second half. Grant Ward was personally my man of the match.
Yep.
There's plenty of positives to come out of that, isn't there?
Absolutely. I think, I mean, you're reeling off those list of players that are out there. Just talk about a sort of a win in the face of adversity. I think Mick McCarthy must have been thinking the footballing gods were conspiring against him, really, given the disjointed pre-season he's had with that illness sweeping through the camp, some of his main summer signings, as you say, not being ready for the start of things. He really needed to go into this season on a positive note, given the ill feeling that surrounded last season and surrounding him. And he kind of touched upon that himself. He needed that for his own sort of personal feeling. And I think the second half was evidence of players still playing for him, evidence that they can rekindle that spirit that kind of saw them get sixth place against the odds really a couple of years ago. And I just kind of sense from following the team around in pre-season and the brief insight that we get up at the training ground when we're up there is that there is a bit of a spirit about this place. It's a smaller squad again. Seems to be a bit of that close-knit feel about the place again. And I think they're stung a little bit by what happened last season and the criticism that came their way. And I just hope that everyone can start pulling together in the same direction again. I said that the onus was on the players and Mick to win over the fans rather than vice versa. I think the Ipswich fans have always proven that if you give them something to get behind, they will. And that happened on Saturday. You know, it was a really well-taken goal. And once that went in, the place was bouncing, the players had an extra spring in their step, and it took me back to that Newcastle game on Easter Monday when, you know, there was a similar feel-good feel, and it's just proof that, you know, they have got players that are capable, and they can get everyone, you know, feeling good again, I think.
We'll not look at this at the game in too much detail, because obviously we've got to move on to the coming week, but what or who impressed you from that opening day win?
Dizel up until the injury. Real shame when he went off. He was demanding the ball off the back four and he looked like he bulked up a bit. He's come back with confidence from the Euros. But we can't dwell on that because as we sit here now, the worry is that he's got a cruciate knee ligament injury, so he'll be out for some time. But he goes off. He's replaced by another homegrown 18-year-old in Flynn Downs, and boy, did he look the part. You would never think that that was his senior men's debut. He a different type of player to Dizel, more tenacious, but he really got about the place, put a few senior lads on their backsides, didn't he? And he's got a bit of quality on the ball as well. I think, without being too disrespectful of Luke Higham, I think he's got a bit more going forwards than Luke as well. He was quite assured on the ball. So potentially a new homegrown hero emerging there in Flynn Downs. Grant Ward, as you said, was probably my pick of the bunch. Really like him in that central number 10 role. He's just got that real energy, doesn't he? He just seems to grind the opposition into submission with the amount of running that he does. Both the full-backs, wing-backs, I should say. I thought Knudsen had a lot more quality on the ball. His final delivery was outstanding compared to last season. That was a criticism against him, but the cross for the goal and a few others was good. Iorfa had a good solid debut, a powerful athletic runner at right wing-back. Shades of Tyrone Mings about him there, isn't he, on the opposite side. So, all things considered, I thought there was quite a few positives. And Joe Garner as well, we should mention, a debut goal, and he's got that real sort of aggressive, competitive edge to him as well, hasn't he? So a lot of the things that were missing last season, you know, a bit of aggression, a bit of fight, a bit of dynamism, a bit of enterprise, you know, just stuff that gets fans off their seats that was lacking in those drab, forgettable games last season. There was just a bit of something to get us going this time around, so
I'm, yeah. So at the same stage last season, Town had had an indifferent pre-season. They'd lost to the Belgian second-tier side. Then they beat Barnsley 4-2 on the opening day. Quite a spectacular second half. Then Stevenage come to Town on Tuesday night, take a 1-0 win in the League Cup. And all that optimism that was building the Barnsley game, albeit they played a different team, was shot down a little bit.
Yep.
A year on, after a victory against Birmingham on Saturday, Town go to Luton on Tuesday night in the Carabao Cup. We all know how Luton went on at the weekend. They beat Yeovil 8-2 at Kenilworth Road. But is it important at this stage for fans, for the manager, for the players alike, to play the strongest team possible against the League Two side and try and get the best result possible? Is it important for momentum? Is it important for league form? Or, like Mick McCarthy sometimes probably thinks about the cup competitions, it's not that important?
It's a really difficult one because I think Cup success, and by success I mean, you know, winning a couple of games and not just sort of going out limply in the first round, it is quite high on most fans' agenda because it's been a recurring theme during Mick's time here, hasn't it, these early exits in the Cup. And it's not been that, it's been more the nature of it because it's been 10, 11 changes. Mm-hmm. And as you rightly say, it really does sort of kill any momentum. And I think there's a happy medium to be had there this time around. Should he put out his inverted commas full strength side or the same team that started on Saturday? It's probably not prudent given you've got Barnsley away coming up this Saturday, Millwall away, Brentford at home, Fulham at home.
I was going to say, can he afford to with the amount of injuries he's got as well?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, if he'd have had a fully fit squad, then he'd have had options to rotate. But hopefully, Selina, McGoldrick, Webster, they're all fit enough to be on the bench Saturday. So hopefully they're ready to start on Tuesday. I mean, that's a pretty key trio that you could get into your starting lineup straight away. I wouldn't be too displeased to see someone like Tristan Nydam get their chance. I think Flynn Downs will probably start, having obviously only come on effectively at half time on Saturday. So he's got the ability to put out a pretty strong side. I just hope it's, you know, I wouldn't be adverse to 4 or 5 changes, but I don't want to see 10 or 11 because mm-hmm. I think that's harsh, and we saw that in the FA Cup last season with the Portsmouth game. You make 10-11 changes, it's really hard for a fringe player to come in and be at their best when they're playing in a team full of strangers, basically. Mm-hmm. I think you're almost hanging them out to dry in that situation. You need to put 4 or 5 of them in amongst senior, regular players, and that makes it all the easier. But yes, I think they need to put in a performance having worked so hard to get some feel-good factor about the place again with Saturday's win. It would be shame to see that, you know, that balloon burst.
And we saw what can happen a couple of seasons ago, albeit they went to Manchester United and lost 3-0 in the end. But before the game, there was that, like you said, the feel-good factor was there amongst the fans. Fans were getting excited about going to a Premier League giant. It just gets the atmosphere going a little bit more, doesn't it?
Definitely. And I think if we're talking realistically, Ipswich not being able to challenge for promotion this year, and I don't wish to be too defeatist. Listen, they're amongst the bookies' favourites for the drop, and last season was difficult, and you look at what everyone else has spent. Let's be realistic, mid-table's probably the best we can hope for, so let's give the cup a good go, or, you know, one of the cups, you know, that can turn an average season into one that people look back on fondly. I mean, you only have to go back a, you know, not too far in time to that run to the semi-finals of the League Cup. Tamás Priskin 1-0 against Arsenal in the first leg of the semi-finals, and those are memories that stay with you years down the line, aren't they? So you only have to, you know, you win the first game, you win the second game, and all of a sudden, like you say, you can have a big tie against a Manchester United or whoever. So I hope they can get through on Tuesday night. But you've mentioned Luton's result, 8-2. It's away from home. I'm sure it won't be an easy task, but fingers crossed.
So that's the Carabao Cup out of the way. Then we are back to the bread and butter next Saturday, and it's Barnsley away. Now, Barnsley started with a 3-1 defeat at Bristol City on Saturday. But you look at the squad that they had last season and what they've got this season, albeit I think they've brought in some good lower league players, and I think they'll surprise a few again this season. I certainly don't think they'll be in the bottom six or anything like that. But you look at the players that they've sold in the last year or so: James Bree, Conor Hourihan, both to Aston Villa; Ryan Kent's gone back to Liverpool; Alfie Mawson's playing for Swansea now; Mark Roberts we saw on Saturday for Birmingham; Josh Scowen's gone to QPR; Marley Watkins, obviously Ipswich were interested in him, he ended up going to Norwich; Sam Winall went to Sheffield Wednesday. How did he do it? How did he sort of keep on competing in the Championship? And how do you see Ipswich faring there at the weekend against what could be a relatively new-looking squad?
Yeah, I think Mick McCarthy said to us towards the back end of the season that you could argue that Paul Heckingbottom, given those circumstances, deserved to be up there for Championship Manager of the Year last year in terms of coming up into the Championship, having his team virtually decimated and finishing, I don't know, was around mid-table in the end. They were fairly comfortable, weren't they? So, you know, that losing key players has continued this summer. He's managed to bring in, as you say, some lower league players, some more Premier League loanees. They'll be amongst the favourites for the drop still, as will be Millwall, who are the next opponents for Ipswich after that. So, on paper, Ipswich have got a reasonable opening month of the season. There's tougher games ahead. So I think this month is pretty key to keep some momentum going, because they'll need to be in good confidence, you know, in good spirits heading into some tougher games. So, yeah, Barnsley away won't be easy, but there'll be tougher games, I think it's fair to say.
I say, if you'd have told Town fans at the start of the season they'd beat Birmingham at home and then maybe get 4 points from the next two games at Barnsley and Millwall, 7 points after three games, that's decent form, isn't it? I think they'd take that.
Definitely. Well, Mick will tell us every point's a prisoner, won't he? And whether he'd take a couple of draws from these next two away league games, I don't know. But I think they've got to be ambitious and target maximum points from both those games. Certainly go into it with that mindset, really.
And if they can get positive results from both those and maybe come out with 4 or even 6 points, so they've got 7 or 9 points, they then finish the month with what looks like two tough-looking home games. Brentford at home, who did so well last season, and Fulham, we all know what happened with them last season. They got to the playoff semi-finals, free scoring, skillful side. If Town can have positive results in the next two games, they'll go into those games full of confidence. If they don't do so well away from home, then they might face those two teams with a bit of trepidation.
Yeah, and I think it will help set the mood at Portman Road as well. I think people have gone away having enjoyed that first game, but if there's been a League Cup exit and a couple of iffy results away from home, then perhaps the memories of Saturday will have faded a little bit and there'll be a low crowd and a bit of a nervy atmosphere heading into those Brentford and Fulham games. So what happens in these next three away games is going to go a long way to determining how people feel sort of turning up for those two home games at the end of the month. So it's a relentless league. You know, we got Saturday, Tuesday early on. Perhaps the sort of shortage of numbers might be difficult for them to manage, but as we sit here at the moment, we've got to be nice and positive, I think.
And any results in the Championship on Saturday surprise you at all, catch your eye?
You'll have to remind me of some of them, Chris. We got. I know Norwich got a late equaliser, didn't they, against Fulham? So I think that's a reasonable start for them.
Bristol City beat Barnsley. Wolves beat Middlesbrough, I think, 1-0.
Yeah. So Bristol City one surprised me actually, because I thought Barnsley would be okay, and I had Bristol City amongst my teams to go down. As Mick says, it's a bonkers league. Anyone can beat anyone. Fine margins. Let's trot out all the cliches nice and early, shall we?
Thanks, Stu. Well, that's just about it for this week. Be sure to keep logged on to eadt.co.uk and ipswichstar.co.uk throughout the week. Also, log on to our Facebook and Twitter pages as well. There'll be plenty of coverage prior to the Luton game and, of course, the Barnsley game next Saturday. We'll also have live coverage from both those games on our Matchday Live feed. The only thing we need to add is that there will not be a Facebook Live broadcast from the press conference prior to the Luton game, and that's on the club's request. But until then, you keep logged on and keep looking at our stuff, and we'll speak to you soon. Cheers, bye-bye.